morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Thank you for joining us this morning at Spanish Fork United Methodist Church. We pray that it will be a blessing to you in this hour as we celebrate our risen Savior. Don't forget to please register your attendance with us using the binders at the ends of the pews so that we know how to contact you and know that you were here to join us this morning. And now please turn to your neighbor and welcome each other to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. As you make your way back to your pews, please be seated as we start our worship together with our call to worship.
Thank you. Amen. Before we say the creed today, the traditional greeting on Easter is the leader will say, Christ is risen, and you know this, Christ is risen indeed. So help me this morning, Christ is risen. You sound good. Let's do that again. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Let us affirm our faith together as we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Church family, let us now go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this morning thanking you for your abundant sacrifice and love for us. As we arise with joy this morning, we reflect upon the sacrifice that you made for us, and we give thanks that the stone was rolled away and that you remained the victory over death. As we give you our hearts this morning, we come in humble adoration to praise you and you only, dear Lord, through our hallelujahs, amens, and thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks for this time to come together in the Easter spirit, but may we remember that every day is Easter because your grace, your mercy, and your love is renewed for us each and every day. Let our hearts be accepting of what you offer, and let us be open and willing to hear your voice and be led together, not just on Easter, but every day. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, as we come together praying for our neighbors, our loved ones, and our world on this Easter Sunday. We rejoice in knowing that we have an abundant, almighty, ever-powerful, and ever-present God. As we come together in the body of Christ, holding those needs in prayer, knowing that at the throne of the cross and at the throne of mercy, our God will do his will. We faithfully call out as we pray to you the way you have taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, by praying together and faithfully, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
children to come forward in these moments with the children's time with Miss Kelly.
Good morning, everyone. And I just want to remind everyone, we will be in Lower Reed. And if you do not know where that is fine. There will be a very nice red-headed gentleman in a seersucker suit right outside the building to direct you where we are. He did not know he was going to do that until just now. All right. Good morning, guys. You can come a little bit closer if you want. We have something for you to look at. So sit down right there for me. Yeah, right there. Wonderful. Okay, so today I have a puzzle for us to put together so that we can all fully understand what today is all about. So, Jesus is God's son, and he taught people about God's love. Jesus showed God's love and power by healing sick people and helping sad people. And that made some people happy, but it also made other people mad. And they didn't believe that Jesus was God's son. And those people told guards to come and take Jesus away. Soldiers nailed Jesus to a cross like this one in this picture. And that hurt Jesus. It broke his heart. And he hung on the cross until he died. And he died to fix our broken hearts and to show God's love for us. This was a sad day for Jesus' friends. Oh, my hand's in the way. Sorry. They were sad because their friend Jesus had died. Jesus' friends took his body and set it in a tomb like a very big cave. And they rolled a stone in front of it, a giant rock, so that the opening and no one could get into Jesus' body. You're good. Thank you, sir. After 3 days, Jesus' friends came to visit the tomb, but they were in for a very big surprise, weren't they? Can you get it? Yep, that's good. Thank you, sir. Jesus was alive. He was stronger than death. Jesus came to life and saw his friends. He died and came back to show us God's big love for us. Got it? Very good job. Just as we put this heart puzzle together, Jesus can put our broken hearts back together. That means that he can take away our sadness and the bad things that we've done. God loves us so much that nothing you can do will keep him away from loving you. God even gave us his son Jesus because God will always love you. Now let's pray before we go to children's church. Dear God, thank you for loving us enough to send Jesus. Thank you for allowing Jesus to die, come back to life, take away our wrongs, and to show us how much you love us. In your name we pray. Amen.
As the ushers come and we prepare for this time of offering, may we go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, God, for the marvelous gift of your presence evermore with us. You indeed are the risen Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit now abides in us, the very Spirit of Christ in us in this place. We pray, God, your blessing. Also for the gifts, the financial gifts, the spiritual gifts, the gifts of presence and service. Lord, may you bless and use these gifts as we glorify you, as we exalt you, and that all people will be drawn to you. We pray this in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.
Amazed in the presence of Jesus.
stand for the reading of God's holy word. The title of this sermon today is Promised Land of Milk and Honey. The scripture is Exodus 3, 1 through 10. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. First, as we come to these moments together, I want to share a word about the significance and meaning of this day. And certainly, I know all of us, I believe, are aware of the significance of this day. The resurrection of Christ changes everything, even including time itself. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Hallelujah. So this day is the day we come to worship. It was changed from Saturday, the Sabbath, which is now Sunday, the great message of Easter in the early church and down to our time. That glorious good news is that Jesus is risen from the dead and he lives and reigns for all eternity. And all who believe in him, all who trust in him, have the promise that we will overcome our sin and even death itself. And we will rise, we will be raised from the dead, even as Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, Christ is the first fruits of the dead, the pledge of the greater harvest to come, so that through his death, we can have eternal life. Hallelujah. This is our bedrock faith. This is our hope as followers of Jesus. So how does the promised land in the Old Testament of milk and honey fit into Easter, the message of Easter? This is what we're going to talk about today, reflect over. When was the last time you celebrated a big family reunion? I remember numerous family reunions growing up. The immediate and extended family all gathered in. There was always conversation, fun, and laughter, and of course, one of the main things of that was food. That was really the highlight, the centerpiece of the fellowship that we shared. And in our mobile society today, it's harder for families to get together. Numerous miles often distance family members and requires even more scheduling and time for trying to get together. So I'm delighted to see you here today. Many of you drove. Some of you may have flown to be here with your family and to celebrate this Easter Sunday, joining together as family members, but also of the body of Christ. During this whole season of Lent, we've been in a series on promised treasures, and we've discussed how much God loves us through this whole season and how much God reaches out to touch our lives. Not only in the things that we hear from his word, but also through our physical senses, our seeing, our tasting, and even our feeling. On Ash Wednesday, we tasted the ashes, or we felt the ashes. We had them imposed upon us. We've come through elements of salt and water and light and wood on Good Friday. We've tasted the bread, knowing that Jesus is the bread of life. And today we come to milk and honey. Milk and honey. Symbols of the promised Holy Land. The land flowing with milk and honey. Wow, you know, this is a full gallon of honey. I've never held a full gallon of honey. In my mind, you know, I'm hearing this. Don't drop this, Bill. Don't drop this, Bill. Never held a full gallon of honey. Jesus said, "It is finished." It is finished, right? So I'm finished. Y'all have a great Easter, all right? No, this represents, these elements represent something greater than the symbol itself. Families, as we gather for food and feasting, it's the same in the church. There are feasts in the church like Passover and Pentecost, which we'll celebrate a little bit later. And then Easter is the highest of all festivals and feasts within the church. We celebrate the conquering of sin and death and hell and the grave by the glorious resurrection of Jesus. And through all of that, he promises us eternal life in heaven. St. John called it the new heaven and the new earth. That is our promised land. And we see in this today the greater fulfillment of the Old Testament promised land. I was reading recently, a Jewish rabbi was talking about the meaning of the milk and honey and why the pairing of milk and honey together. And the rabbi said, because the milk is a product of the animals in that culture and in that community, and date honey is a product of the plants. So milk and honey together represent completeness and harmony. So we begin to see that milk and honey are way more than just food products here that this passage is talking about. They symbolize the promised land itself. They symbolize really a reestablishing of the Garden of Eden, a place of paradise. Milk and honey were the primary food sources of that time and of that culture. It was the food that would sustain and nourish the people of God. But again, I think it's much more than just the food that is represented there. And I don't think it would be off base to say, depending on your taste bud, it might be to say that this is a land flowing with tacos. Or this is a land flowing with filet mignon. Or this is a land flowing with shrimp or fish. Or this is a land flowing with spaghetti and meatballs. I mean, according to your taste today. But it's not just the food. These items of milk and honey symbolize the greater fulfillment of our spirit that no physical food can satisfy, no matter how much we enjoy that. They represent the abundant provision of God that we can find in no other place on this earth. And the ultimate fulfillment of that is found in the promised land of heaven for the people of God. In the early church, Easter Day was celebrated, and newly baptized believers actually came to be a part of the church. Easter was the time when that happened in the early church, and a lot of church traditions as they welcomed new people into the church. We're actually doing that next Sunday for our confirmands. But the converts, the early converts in the church, were congratulated because they had been released from the power of sin and darkness in their lives. They were a part of the kingdom of light and life in Christ. And many of them also had Holy Communion for the first time as they were confirmed. And before they received the sacrament of Holy Communion, the body and blood of Christ, guess what they gave them? A cup of water mixed with, guess what? Milk and honey. And the reason why they did that was to let those early and new believers coming into the church that there was a promised land, that there was a place that was eternal, even as the scripture says, eternal in the heavens, not made with human hands. And when they came to the Lord's table, they were participating in an eternal feast that Christ promised. Remember, Jesus told the disciples on the night of that Last Supper, I will not eat this again until we eat it anew in the kingdom of God. So friends, being in worship today is really a huge deal, especially on Easter. It's like the prodigal son returning home to his father, and the feast was there to celebrate him. When someone is welcomed into God's household of faith, it's like a family reunion, a time of feasting. And what we see here is just a type of what's coming for us as the people of God. Isaiah talks about this. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all his people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine. And the banquet Isaiah describes is an eternal feast of heaven in which all of God's people will partake. The good news is that we're all invited to this glorious banquet of heaven because Jesus has opened the door for us. Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, and alive, about which we speak every Sunday in our creed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And we sang the great resurrection song this morning as we came in with the light of Christ. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle's won. Death in vain forbids him rise. And then it says, Christ has opened paradise. Paradise is open through Jesus' death and resurrection. Paradise was open even for the dying thief beside Jesus on the cross when he said, today you will be with me in paradise. In 1 Corinthians 15 again, Paul writes in this great resurrection chapter, Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Note here that Jesus has swallowed up and conquered all enemies, and it even says he has destroyed death, forever rising from the dead. Heaven awaits us. It's not so far away, friends, as we would say today. We can almost taste it. We can almost taste it. And here it is, in the milk and honey. But dear friends, there's also a caution with this as well. When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they were set free from their bondage, from their slavery in Egypt. When they crossed over the Jordan River, they entered into the promised land of milk and honey. But we know that journey for them was a difficult one, and hence is the caution for us. Whenever you entered into the sanctuary this morning, you crossed into a place we call a sanctuary, a place where we believe that our lives here have been called out of death into life. Because Christ has conquered sin and death for us. In these moments, we've stepped out of the world into the very presence of God, into God's world. But that certainly doesn't mean that we have left this planet, right? Every single one of us here have experienced our share of loss and pain and the effects and consequences of sin in our lives and those around us. We have our trials and our struggles and our anxieties and our worries. But whatever we experience here in this life, whatever losses we incur, whatever struggles we bear, the Apostle Paul has said, it's nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed. And as Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And as the Apostle Paul said in Romans, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. One of my favorite Easter stories that's been around for a while is a pastor in a somewhat smaller church was all excited on Easter Sunday morning. He was excited about eternal life. He was excited about heaven, as we all should be. And he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hands. And everybody in the place raised their hand. But one little boy, about 12 years old, and the pastor looked down at that young boy and he said, son, what's wrong? Don't you want to go to heaven? And the boy put his head down and he said, yes, pastor, I do want to go to heaven, but the way you're talking, you were trying to get a bunch to go today, and I'm not ready to go today. For the children of Israel, we all can identify that certainly, but for the children of Israel, it was just the opposite. They wanted everything immediately. They didn't like the wandering in the wilderness. They didn't like living in tents, moving wherever God wanted them to go. They grew tired of the manna that they ate every day, or the quail. They grew tired of looking for clean water to take. And so they got weary. And as I think about that in my own life, and as you think about that in your life, sometimes we may grow impatient and we're looking for answers. Where will we find the strength to go forward? Where is God in the midst of the struggles that we face? What do we need to sustain us? And here it is. Milk and honey. It's the promise of His eternal presence with us. It's the promise that whatever we experience in this life, it's nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed. Family reunions are wonderful. Feasts and festivals are wonderful, but they never last. God's kingdom is forever. So today, as you go out and eat lunch and supper with your family and friends, and I hope you do, and as you share in those moments together, I pray you'll be reminded in those moments, that's only really a foretaste of glory divine. That's only a glimpse of the milk and honey that God provides and will provide for us. As Joshua crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, Jesus, through his death and resurrection, is leading us into the promised land of heaven, which never ends. There's an old gospel song that fits with this so much. I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, won't you come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Dear friends, the promise is open for all of us in a land flowing with milk and honey. And friends, I want to see all of you there. May we pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for the glimpses of heaven that we see here now. And God, that heaven is so close that we can, yes, almost taste it. Thank you for the fellowship that we share together because of what Christ has done, because we serve a risen Savior, because we serve someone who has defeated death itself, and because He lives, we will live also in that promised land. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you this day. May we continue to worship you even as we leave from this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn together.
May we go out into the world with the joy of the promise that Christ will lead us into the land overflowing with milk and honey. Go in the spirit, the abundance, grace, and the love of our Savior. And we look forward to seeing you again. But until then, may the grace of God shine up on you. And until we meet again, my friends, shalom and the peace of God be with you.